in 91, the ninth chapter of Hebrews, I read words, if the blood of goats and bullocks sanctifies to the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I was writing. I looked up the word conscience. I knew what a conscience was, but it said moral consciousness. So then I did go to an English dictionary to see what a moral consciousness was. It said the innermost thoughts and feelings of a man. I said, God, that's where I'm polluted. That's where my problem is. My innermost thoughts and feelings, my dreams, my imaginations, things I had no control over whatsoever. I said, that's where my problem, that's where the sin problem is. It's in the innermost thoughts and feelings of a man. And I looked, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And I saw it, just so simple. I saw it, Jesus, you shed your blood to wash me on the inside. The Pharisee could wash the outside and indeed look righteous. But he said, the inside is filled with excess and extortion. I'd done a good job on the outside, but the inside I couldn't touch. I said, Jesus, I see it. You shed your blood to wash me on the inside. To wash the inside of the cup. You shed your blood for that. And I lift my hands and this Holy Ghost came on me and the tears flowed. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood to wash me on the inside. I've been preaching on radio by every means for years. I'd fasted more days in a year than what I ate for 3 years of that time. Y'all knew me in those days. I did. Big frame and kept at about 150 pounds from continuous fasting. For crucifixion, for sanctification, for things that Jesus died for. And I found no answer. I saw God move. I saw wonderful things happen. But there was no answer for the thing that works in me. I'm telling you, that's what the Christ came to do. Praise God. You can go through life thinking, no. Jesus came to forgive you. And you've got to keep yourself after He's forgiven you. I can remember thinking as a young man, I was raised in the church. And I felt like my heart was like a blackboard. It was all messed up. But I said, if somebody could just wipe it clean, I'd do better next time. And I'd get in that altar and repent. And I'd get up feeling all clean. I said, praise God, I'm going to do better this time. It wouldn't be 2 weeks that blackboard messed up again. You know what I'm talking about. If you've ever had that struggle before you came to the Lord, of course. And so I'd go down and get it wiped clean again. And forgiveness wipes it clean. But it wouldn't be 2 weeks, it'd be messed up again. I'll tell you, it's a recipe for struggle. To tell the people, well, Jesus came to forgive you, but you got to keep yourself. I read one day about where Jude said, now to Him that is able to keep you from falling. Look up the Greek, it says to keep you from sinning. It says that. But it's He that's able to keep you from sinning. It's He that's able to keep you from sinning. I can't do it. You can't do it. Your willpower is not enough. My willpower is not enough. But He came to make an end of it, to take it out, to take it away. Praise God. And we don't understand that. We can't accept that salvation is based upon believing. Oh no, it can't be that. Lots of people believe they're saved, and I know they're not saved. It's not based on believing you're saved. You know what salvation is based on? That believing. Look, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. John 3:16. How about John 1:12? He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Even to as many as believe upon His name. Or maybe the 16th chapter of Acts, the Philippian jailer, who asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. He didn't base it on doing, He based it on believing. Yeah. Not doing, but believing. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk therein. Praise God. Based upon believing. But believing what? Believing that Jesus is the Christ who came into the world in a body of flesh so He could die on a cross and bruise the head of the serpent. Die as a lamb to take my sin away, to make an end of sins, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's what it is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. Made an end of sins. It's not through my struggle. You may have been taught that Romans 7 is the norm for a child of God. Romans 7 is not the norm for a child of God. Read Romans 7 and compare it to Isaiah 59, where the people said, we look for light, but there's only darkness. For salvation, it doesn't come. We walk in darkness. We grope at the wall like blind men. We stumble at noonday as at midnight. And He describes those that walk in darkness. We look for justice. And it's afar off. Truth is fallen in the streets. No reason to give is because truth is fallen in the streets. It's the reason that men walk in darkness, because truth is fallen in the streets. And it ends up with a Redeemer, the promise of the Redeemer coming. The next chapter says, arise and shine, because thy light has come. The light has come, you're not walking in darkness. But you go to Romans in 7, and you read something like, I would do good, but evil's present with me. The good I would, I do not. The evil I would not, that I do. I find that to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So then if I do those things that would not, I know that it's not I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Don't tell me that's the norm of a child of God. Jesus came and took the sin away. He did. Look at what Jesus told the Jews in John the 8th chapter. This staggered me when I first saw it. I know that I'm rambling, but there's a whole lot of good comes out of rambling sometimes if you can hear it. Hallelujah. Precious Savior. He told those Jews. In verse 21, John 8. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. Ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. I saw that some time back. It staggered me. How can anybody seek Him and die in sins? It's happening all over America and around the world. How can it be in Mark the 7th chapter where He said, in vain do they worship Me, keeping the traditions of men for the commandments of God. In vain do they worship. How can people worship Him and it be in vain? I see it every time I see a television minister, just about. You see them jumping up and down to the sound of the music and they think they're worshiping the Lord. It's all in vain. But He told these Jews, ye shall seek Me and shall die in your sins. How is that possible? Well, I can tell you that today the Jew goes to that wailing wall every day in Jerusalem and they seek the Messiah. They prayed for the Messiah, the Christ, to come. Oh, if the Messiah will come, He'll make an end of sins. He'll bring in everlasting righteousness. He'll deliver us from our enemies when Messiah comes. And they seek Him, and they're dying in sin, but they're seeking the Messiah. They're seeking the Christ. But they're still rejecting Jesus. And two verses later, Jesus said this, "I said therefore unto you," 24th verse, "that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." If you don't believe that I am the Christ, which should come to make an end of sins, you'll die in your sins. What does it mean to die in your sins? It means to die with sin still in your heart and nature. Praise God. I mean, you might have it pretty well controlled. The Hasidic Jew has it pretty well controlled. Pretty well controlled. But they're dying in sin. And people that have it pretty well controlled on the outside are still dying in sin because they do not believe. They believe that Jesus came to take the penalty. They believe He came to cover it. They believe that He came to forgive it. But they do not believe that He came to make an end of it. He came to make an end of sins. Believing that, trusting in Him who died to make an end of sins in me. And He makes an end of sins in you. Praise God. Amen. He does it. Hallelujah. He does it. It's His work. It's what He came to do. And what do we do? We believe upon Him who loved us and gave Himself for Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. We trust in Him. They trusted in Christ and turned the world upside down in their generation. They did.